In 1978, there was a widow scientist, who's also a physician, who had a freak accident. Actually, it was a lab accident. He was declared dead, and then when he woke up, he became a wanderer in the United States. Kunsan san siya nakapunta, and then everywhere he goes, he ended up helping people. So his characteristics are very noticeable. He's gentle, he's mild. He's a person who is quick to respond when somebody's need. But there's one characteristic about this person that they cannot deny. At ito po ay is when he gets angry. Some say as if he was a different person. Every words na lumalabas sa kanya, he yells. Everything is up in the air. He's throwing things. Until one day, there's one person who provoked him in anger. And he was trying to fight this temper issue, his anger issues. And then this person was provoking him to be angry. And it's interesting how he responded. And his response was well known throughout his time, even today. And this is how he responded. Please don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Dr. Bruce Banner. 1978 Hulk TV series. One of the Marvel movies that TV series I used to love watching. I was not born in 1978. That was a year earlier probably. But I enjoyed watching the Hulk series back in the 80s. Interestingly, 1,000 years ago, there was another man who was known to be mild and gentle, but he's not a fictional character, okay? He's a person who's been healing and teaching and helping people, especially the poor and the needy. One day, the people were surprised sa kanya because he got angry, something that they have not seen before. No, he did not said bad words or throw things. Well, he did actually did some throwing, okay? And his name is Jesus. The Jesus, meek and mild, first time, nagagalit pala si Jesus. And even every time I share this passage to people, even in our time, they were surprised na nandito yun na nagalit si Jesus. We didn't know that Jesus got angry. Why did he get angry? Was it significant? Was it purposeful? We can rest assured that when Jesus gets angry, when God gets angry, it is a holy anger. It is a righteous indignation. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We are continuing our sermon series in the book of the Gospel according to Mark, which was written by John Mark. Okay? And it was a story about Jesus' life and ministry. So far, we have seen sa ating mga napag-aralan that Jesus has proven many times sa kanyang teaching and miraculous signs that He was the promised Messiah, that everything that the Old Testament prophesied about, siya yun, sa kanyang teaching, sa kanyang miracles, sa lahat ng kanyang ginagawa. We have seen last week that people welcomed King Jesus sa Jerusalem and all were in place in his royal entourage, confirming that he is indeed the much-awaited son of David. So nakita po na yan, it's a huge celebration. Tonight, in our passage, we will see that Jesus is the righteous King and the Savior of all nations who deserve all praises. In our passage tonight, ito ang ating main point. Jesus is the righteous King and the Savior of all nations who deserve all praises. Our passage is divided into 2 points ulit. Number one, lesson on fruit, verses 12 to 19. And number two, a lesson on faith, verses 20 to 25. Number one, lesson on fruit, verses 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. This was Jesus. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Papunta po si Jesus papuntang Jerusalem kasama ang kanyang mga disciples. At habang naglalakad siya, papunta sa city, natanaw po niya yung fig tree. Okay? Napansin niya na madahon. So ang assumption po, if you see isang punong mayabong or leafy, you would assume there are fruits. Now, naghanap si Jesus ng bunga or fruit nito, pero nung napansin niya na walang bunga, what Jesus did is he cursed it. He didn't find any fruit, so sinumpa niya. Now, ano nangyari rito? Delikado pala magutom si Jesus? Is that the lesson? Ang pagsumpa ni Jesus sa fig tree ay isa sa mga mahirap unawain at controversial na miracle na na-perform sa Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some modern commentators even rejected ang historicity ng account na ito. Ito daw ay isang unreasonable miracle. Some commentators would say, bakit daw nagbuhos ng kapangyarihan si Jesus sa isang puno na alam niya within 2 to 3 months pa bago bumunga ito? In short, sa time nila, they know within 2 to 3 months pa ang bunga ng yung time na nakita ni Jesus, yung puno na ito. Bagamat mahirap unawain, ngunit hindi po imposible. Hindi po ito simple na nagutom na lang si Jesus at nung wala siya nakitang bunga, nag-init po yung ulo niya. Hindi po ito yung parang galing ang trabaho, uuwi ka sa bahay, nakita mo walang sinaing, magdadabog ka. Pati di ka nagluto na naman. Akala ko nag-message ako sa'yo, wala akong signa eh, sino may mali? So, hindi po ito yung tipong nag-iinit yung ulo mo pag hindi ka nakakain. Okay? Hindi po ito yung tantrum na yon. Okay? Remember, Jesus intentionally and constantly teaches His disciples. His disciples, He disciples them sa kanyang mga teachings, sa kanyang mga parables, even in His miracles. Now, He teaches them by performing a different type of miracle, a different kind of parable. It is called a parable in action. Or yung tinatawag na he acted out a parable. Okay? Ang tawag po dito sa miracle na ito is miracle of destruction. The first time nagkaroon ng miracle na that caused death. Makikita po natin muli yung writing style ni John Mark dito. Kung saan yung tinatawag na interrupted accounts. Kasi makikita mo yung 2 different stories at nakapagitna po yung isa. It is also known as the Markan sandwich. That's Mark's style of writing. He would put one story, interrupts that story, and adds another story, and then ends with the first story by putting it in the end to put emphasis sa gitna, sa sandwich mismo. So yun po yung ginagawa niya rito. Okay? So our passage, yung gitnang istorya ay may kinalaman sa mangyayari sa temple sa Jerusalem. So ano ba nangyari sa Temple of Jerusalem? Let's read verse 15. And they came to Jerusalem and he entered the temple. Now, intuwa muna tayo dyan. Ano ba yung Jerusalem Temple? Okay? Lagi natin naririnig yan sa story. Ano ba ang itsura ng Jerusalem Temple? Well, ang temple po ng Jerusalem ay may 4 different divisions. And let me pull up an image dito. Mahahati po siya sa 4 different areas, okay? Or courts na tinatawag. Ang pinakagitna, yung kaloob-looban po na court, is yung tinatawag na Holy of Holies. Ang Holy of Holies po, wala ho makakapasok dyan kung hindi yung high priest. And he enters that once a year to offer a sacrifice for himself and for the whole nation once a year. So it's a bloody area kasi siya yung mismo ng sacrifice. Second, sa labas ng court na yan, makikita po natin, medyo maliit lang yung court na ito, ito yung Court of Israel. So yung Court of Israel, yan po yung tinatawag na men's court na kung saan yung mga men ay nagwo-worship sa area na yon. Of course, kung may men's area of worship, yan yung next court, which is yung third court, which is yung women's court. Yun naman ang mga kababaihan ay nagbibigay ng worship sa Panginoon. And the biggest land area that surrounds the temple ay yung tinatawag na Court of the Gentiles. Which means if you're not a Jew, this is the only area na pwede kang pumasok kung hindi ka Jew. So pag bibisita ako sa temple, ako dito pwede tayo. Pwede tayong pumasok sa area na ito. Okay? Ang laki na pwede niyang na masasabi is parang mga ilang football field ang pwede raw magkasya sa area na ito. This is the only area where Gentiles are welcome. Eh, anong ginagawa ng mga Gentiles yan? This is the place that we learn about, they learn about God, that they, the Jews have the opportunity to teach the Torah, to evangelize them technically and help them understand why they need to worship only si Yahweh. So yan po yung area na yan. It's a place of worship. It's a place of knowing God. So yung pagpasok ni Jesus, yun po yung area na yun. The court of Gentiles. Pagpasok ni Jesus sa court of Gentiles, isang malaking scenario ang nakita niya. Hindi po ito a place of worship, hindi ito a place of sharing about God. Isa tong malaking souk, marketplace, na kung saan maraming nagbebentahan, maingay, maraming mga hayop na kung saan binibili at binibenta. Ano nangyayari dito? Well, tingnan natin po verse 16. Okay? Tingnan natin yung naging reaction ni Jesus nung nakita niya ito. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons or doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. Teka muna. Ito na yung sinasabi natin kanina pa. Ito yung parang one character na hindi natin napansin kay Jesus. Ang Jesus na kilala natin na meek and mild, patient and kind. Parang all of a sudden, nag-iba ang character niya rito, no? Parang all of a sudden, there's this outburst of anger. Ano ba yung nangyayari sa temple? Ano yung nakita niya na kinagalit niya? Pero bago po natin sagutin ito, alamin po muna natin yung ganap na nangyayari sa time ng Israel na yun, nung panahon na ito. So sa time ng Israel na ito, lahat ng mga Jews na nakatira sa foreign land, lahat po sila ay umuuwi. Kasi malaking festivity sa kanila is yung tinatawag na Passover Feast. It is a command sa Torah that they should remember once a year na i-celebrate ito to remember, to commemorate yung freedom na binigay ng Panginoon sa mga Jews under the slavery ng Egypt. So that's what you called na may practice ng Passover lamb. That's why importante ho yung lamb sacrifices or animal sacrifices as a image. Kaya ang population ng mga tao ng Jerusalem na yon ay 10 times ang dami. So it's hundreds of thousands of people in one small city. So malamang punong-puno ang mga bahay at saka paupahan noong time na yon. Kaya kung mapapansin niyo po, si Jesus ay wala sa city. If you've studied this passage in your community groups, you would notice that he was walking from Bethany and back to Bethany because Bethany is outside Jerusalem, mga 2.3 kilometers or 3 miles. Ang layo niya. So nilalakad lang nila Jesus, tapos pag-uwi, babalik na lang sila doon. Nandun siguro sila nakakuha ng kwarto o na mauupahan dahil sobrang dami ng tao doon. The streets of Jerusalem are busy. According sa isang Jewish historian na si Josephus, ang Passover noong AD 66, umaabot daw ng 255,000 ang dami ng mga lambs o yung mga tupa na nasacrifice. Ganun po karami, ganun kalaki ang pangailangan at ganun kalaki ang bentahan. Yan po yung quantity. Lahat ng mga tao na makikipista sa Passover ay required na magdala ng animal. It's either a lamb or a dove or a pigeon, yung nabasa natin. Kasi kung medyo mahirap ang pamilya mo, okay naman katanggap-tanggap yung dove or yung pigeon. However, hindi ka pwede basta-basta magdala na lang ng mga animals for sacrifice kasi meron po itong requirement. Okay? Now, ang animals ay dapat isacrifice sa yung tinatawag na perfect or unblemished at naaayon sa requirement o yung tinatawag na kosher approved or kosher certified, which means approved sa kanilang kakainin. I think may equivalent yan sa Arabic, which is halal, which is pwedeng kainin. Dapat ini-inspection mabuti yan ng mga quality inspectors. Ang problema, hindi kahit sabihin mo para makatipid ka, kung galing ka rito sa Dubai tapos dadaya ka ng Ras Al Khaimah, nandun kunyari yung gaganapin yung Passover, syempre para makamura ka na, kukuha ka na ng sarili mo, di ba? Bumili ka ng bata-bata pa, ikaw na nagpalaki para enough para pagdating doon. Ang problema po dito, hindi basta-basta tatanggapin. Okay? Hindi basta-basta tatanggapin yung mismong, ano na yan, pag nakita na may pilay yan o nadumihan, agad-agad nilang hindi tatanggapin yan. So anong gagawin nila pag hindi tinanggap? Well, simple lang. Bili ka na lang dito. Yan, approved na yan ng quality inspector. Recommended yan by the high priest. Bumili ka na lang. Yan, hindi tatanggapin yan. Hindi rin tatanggapin ni Lord. Wala kang choice. So, sige, bibili na ako, pero hindi rin ganun kasimple. Kasi yung currency mo, hindi tatanggapin. Ano ba ang mga currency nung panahon na yun? Apat na klase po yung currency nung time na yon. One, yung tinatawag na imperial money, which is yung dominant superpower nung time na yon, is Rome. So meron silang imperial money, meron din provincial money, depende kung saan ka naka, sa ka-region or provincial naka-stay, which is a Greek currency. Tapos meron tinatawag na local money, which is yung tinatawag na Tyrian or yung Jewish money. So kung meron kang Roman, local, kung meron kang provincial or imperial money at gusto mong bumili ng lamb, hindi ka nila papayagan bumili. Kasi they'd consider that as unclean, yung pera na yan. So ang gawin ninyo is, nakita mo may money changer, punta ka ron. Nakikita mo yung kalakaran na nangyayari dito. Yung galawan dito, obvious. Ano? So syempre, pupunta ka ngayon sa money changer. Malaki siguro naman ang halaga ng Roman at saka ng Greek pagdating. Eh, kaso ang taas ng rate. Parang 1:1. Ganon ang halaga. Eh, kung hindi mo naman papatulan, pupunta ka sa iba. Ganon din. May 0.5 nga lang. Eh, di syempre, yun pala, isa rin ang may-ari. Alam mo yon? So, alam mo yon, pag uuwi ka, galing ang Pilipinas, punta ka rito, may dala kang pera, na kung saan papapalit mo. So, tatalon ka sa isang money changer after another, naghahanap ng best rate. Doon walang best rate eh. It's bad or worse. Mamili ka na lang. So, yun yung kalakaran. No, syempre, papapalit mo ngayon yung pera mo. Pag nakuha mo na yung pera mo, bibili ka, ay dobre ang higit ng isang dove. Dobre ang higit ng lamb. So, nakikita niyo yung corruption na nangyayari rito. So, ilan yung nakita natin rito? 250,000 lambs yung na-slaughter nung AD 66. Isipin mo kung ano karami. Kailangan din kasi yung pera na yan, ng Jewish money, para sa, yung Tyrian na tinatawag, para sa annual temple tax. So, yun yung galawan ng pera nung time na yon. Hindi din nila tatanggapin, like I said, because it's considered as defiled money, kung hindi mo ipapapalit. Pagpasok ni Jesus at ang kanyang mga disciples sa Gentile court area, the scent of the air has aroused his anger. Because it's not just the scent, it's the sound, it's the sight, it's the hearts. The hearts of the people na nag-ooperate doon. It was corrupted. Sa galit ni Jesus, tinaob niya ang mga lamesa, yung mga money changers, lahat ng mga animals, pinakawalan niya. Kung pupunta ka sa parallel account sa John chapter 2 verse 14, nagumawa siya ng mga whip. Hindi naman siguro binugbog ni Jesus, pero tinaboy-taboy niya lahat siguro yung mga tao. So parang isang mamang nag-amok, nagwala mismo sa area na yon, na kung saan may transaction. So pinalabas, hindi pa naiinturon, pati hindi lang yung nagbebenta, hindi lang yung animals at tinaboy niya, pati yung mga bumili. At teka, bisukli pa ako ron. Lumayas ka dito. Hindi tama yun. So, hindi natin alam kung ano nangyari. Hindi pa ron natatapos. Since yung area mismo ng Gentile court is mas malapit kung doon ka dadaan papunta sa syudad or sa bayan, ang ginagawa ng mga tao, ginagawa yung temple court na daanan para maging shortcut. Hinarangan ni Jesus yan, walang dadaan, wala kayong mga galang. So walang nakapasok, walang nakalabas, walang nagbenta. So, sobrang galit ni Jesus Christ. Kasi nakita niya yung suhulan na nangyayari, nakikita niya yung extortion, nakikita niya yung corruption na nagaganap sa templo ng Panginoon. Jesus got angry. Yet, here's what's amazing. Jesus got very angry, yet he did not sin. Well, that's amazing. An attribute that only can come from a holy God. Again, this tells us that Jesus is God. But that is just amazing. Mga kaibigan, paano mo mailalarawan ang galit mo ngayon? Masasabi mo ba na ang galit mo ay galit sa kasalanan? O ang galit mo ba ay dahil hinahadlang ang plano mong makalaman? Evaluate your anger tonight. Kung galit ka sa nagawa mong kasalanan, o kung galit ka sa nagawa ng kasalanan ng iba, galit ka din ba sa kasalanan ng iyong nagagawa o ginagawa? Kasi mabilis tayo magalit sa kasalanan ng ibang tao, di ba? Pero ikaw ba nagagalit ka sa kasalanan mo? Sa nagawa mo at ginagawa mo? At kung galit tayo sa ating kasalanan, Ito ba ay ating pinaglalabanan? O ito ba ay ating pinagtatakpan? At paano mo naman ina-address ang galit mo sa kasalanan ng iba? Do you express it with gentleness, humility, and grace? Or is it expressed with uncontrolled anger and a motive to disgrace? Jesus is angry with sin, but in his anger, he did not sin. After driving them out, Jesus followed his actions with biblical teaching. Hindi lang basta siya nag-amok doon. Hindi lang siya basta nagwala. Well, hindi dapat amok o nagwala. No? Hindi lang siya nagalit or in-express ang kanyang galit. Nagturo po siya. Kasi may basis ang kanyang ginawa. That's Jesus. Look at verse 17. And he was teaching them and saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations?' But you have made it a den of robbers." And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him. For they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. Yung turo ni Jesus na is it not written, "My house shall be a house of prayer"? Nasa Isaiah 56 verse 7 yan. Yun yung binasa ni Pastor Eric kanina. This is a prediction that non-Jew will one day be allowed to worship God. And yun yun. That is the only place that non-Jews can worship God. Pero ano yung nakita niya? Ang Gentile court is a place of worship, a place where people from different ethnic backgrounds are welcome and are to be evangelized. They were to share the truths about God, about the living God, a place where the Torah should be taught, a place where people to pray to God for one another to God. What did he witness? Punong-puno ng amoy ng mga hayop or animals. Ang ingay ng mga traders o yung mga nagbebenta ng mismong mga animals. Talamak yung korupsyon na nangyayari. I know you've experienced coming going to a souk or a market, di ba? Ah, dito baka mura lang. Ay, magkano bigay? Ako, mas mababa rito. Animal, naku, may tama yan. Hindi tatanggapin ni high priest yan, ni HP yan. Ni high priest. Hindi tatanggapin ni high priest yan, may tama eh. Dito ka, lahat dito, masariwat, malinis. Yung ganong klaseng ingay. That really troubled yung heart ni Jesus. Because this should be a place of worship and prayer. It has become a place of transaction with unjust means. Jesus said it become a den of robbers. Again, this is not random words. This is Jeremiah 7 verse 11. Na ang temple is a place of worship, pero ito ay naging lugar ng mga oportunista, where dishonest business dealings happen. Listen, I know the church is not the temple. The church is the body of Christ that he purchased with his blood. The church is the gathering of the saints, where we want to worship God, we want to fuel our worship with God's word, where we sing God's word, and as a result, we corporately sing to one another, we encourage one another, we strengthen one another, we encourage. Now, the word encourage means really to give courage to the disheartened. That's what we do in the church. Our worship fuels us to worship God and serve His people. Friends, what's the real reason why you're in church tonight? What's the real reason? Is it an opportunity to corporately worship God with His people? Or is it an opportunity para makasama mo yung taong napupusuan mo o yung crush mo? Is it an opportunity na maipasok ka sa trabaho ng kakilala mong kaibigan sa office, sa company nila? Is it an opportunity na mapansin at mabigyan ng parangal? Is it an opportunity kumita? Ito ang lesson na itinuturo ni Jesus sa fig tree sa kanyang mga disciples. The fig tree and its judgment represents Israel, and the fruitfulness and they're awaiting judgment. Ang fig tree, bagamat maganda tignan, kasi marami siyang dahon, kung titingnan mo sa loob, walang fruit, walang bunga. And because of that, Jesus judged it. Now, it's the same thing din po sa temple. Kung titingnan mo yung temple sa labas, it's a beautiful building. It's an impressive structural design, impressive yung structural design niya. But when you look inside, behind the walls, you see nothing but corruption. You see nothing, mga operations that have no spiritual significance. It's fruitless. That's why Jesus judged it. Do you see yung tinuturo ni Jesus sa mga disciple? Hindi lang yung nag-init ang ulo niya dahil wala siyang napitas. He was giving them a hint na ito yung mangyayari. In the same way also, the religious leaders and the high priests all look good at saka religious. In the way they speak and the way they act, yung outside garments nila, ay talagang kabanal-banalan. They are full, inside they are full of hypocrisy. Wickedness who God will judge one day. That's what's going on sa temple. Their motives were exposed after Jesus cleared the temple at nag-preach. So ano yung naging reaction ng mga high priests at saka religious leaders? Kasi di ba tinanggal yung kanilang business eh. Malaki nga pala porsyento dito ng high priest. Bakit malaking porsyento? Kasi siya yung pumirma eh. Siya yung pumirma lahat ng application ng gusto magtayo ng stall doon dan kay high priest. No? Siyempre may mga cronies yan, papadala, papipirmahan. Malaki porsyento, malaking pera ang pinag-uusapan dito. Ano naging reaction nung nag-preach si Jesus Christ sa kamalian na nangyayari dito? Look at verse 18. And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him. Oh, other translation, kill him. For they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out in the city. The religious leaders do not fear Jesus because they believe him as the Messiah. They fear him because Jesus might win the crowd of the people at hindi na pumunta sa temple at masisira yung business nila. That's what they feared about Jesus. That's why they want to kill him. Listen, friends, outward zealous practice of religious activities. Let me say that again. Outward zealous practice of religious activities or being actively involved in the ministry does not serve as an accurate reflection of the condition of our hearts. Let me say that in a different way. It is not an accurate indicator what's going on in our hearts spiritually, hindi porke tayo'y naglilingkod. Being actively involved in ministry does not necessarily reflect that you are doing well spiritually. I got tens of thousands of ministries to church. Or I'm serving and helping the poor in Jesus' name. That's wonderful. But that is not an accurate indicator that you are doing well spiritually or you even have fruit sa heart mo. It can also be a manifestation of hypocrisy. Friends, be careful sa hypocrisy na pwedeng mamuo sa ating puso. I was studying this, I was reading this, I just stopped. And I started evaluating yung mga ginagawa ko. Man, this is scary kasi you don't notice it. I'm busy for Jesus, pero ang totoo niyan, it's something is may underlying reason kung bakit ka busy for Jesus. You see, ang fig tree na madahon mukhang mabunga. Pero walang bunga. That's why Jesus cursed it. Ang temple naman, maganda ang structure. At ang high priest, mukha naman nagtatrabaho mabuti. Mga simbolo ng spiritualidad, pero corrupt. That's why Jesus judged it. Friends, are you heavily involved in religious activities but have repeatedly neglected God and His Word? That you choose to cover your ears towards God's will? Mga kaibigan, are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth tonight? If you are, that's great. Praise God. But does that reflect how you live your life the rest of the week? Are you kind, gracious, and friendly sa pakikipag-usap mo sa mga taga-crossroads, pero sa puso mo, you are unloving, impatient sa mga kasamahan mo sa flat, mga kasamahan mo sa trabaho, sa kapatid mo? Do you kiss your spouse goodnight? Pero unfaithful ka sa kanya as you are consumed sa pagnood mo ng pornography or flirt with someone na hindi mo asawa. Do you treat your spouse and your children in public with dignity and respect? Pero pagdating sa bahay, you are harsh, argumentative, and manipulative? Nagiging religious professionals na ba tayo? Are we becoming religious professionals? Well, what do I mean by religious professionals? Alam natin ang sasabihin natin pag Christians ang kasama natin. Alam natin ang susuotin natin, ang galaw natin kapag nasa church tayo. Pag kinamusta ka na sa struggle mo, praise God, hallelujah, I'm okay. We know what to say. But trying to hide what is really within. The question is, kung ganun tayo, maybe the question is, meron ba talagang fruit sa heart natin? What comes out of the mouth? What comes out from our actions? What comes out sa mga posts natin sa social media came from the heart. And if there's anger, and if there's hatred, and there's no love for Jesus and His church, there's no forgiveness, which is mamaya pag-uusapan yun, then maybe there's no fruit. Maybe you need someone who will save you from this type of heart. Friends, God cannot be mocked or fooled by our hypocrisy in our religious theatrics, if you may. We must repent. And we go to our last point. Second point, a lesson on faith. Verse 19 hanggang 22. And when evening came, they went out of the city, and as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you curse has withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Pag-uwi nila, dinaanan nila ulit, punta sila sa kanilang inn, nakita na ni Peter, oh Jesus, patay na. Yung sinumpa mo kaninang umaga, patay na ngayon. Okay? The main point to the parable is not just to show us the character of the temple, but the kind of faith na meron sa loob ng temple. Ang fig tree ay ginagamit sa Old Testament bilang simbolo ng judgment ng Panginoon. The point here is not cleansing of the temple, but a temple closing. Okay? The end of the temple. Nung dumating si Jesus Christ, it's the end of the temple. Because ang sacrifices ng lambs, sacrifices ng goats, sacrifices ng doves, cannot make a person right with God, cannot cleanse sins, cannot produce true fruit. All the animals that were sacrificed were never able to cleanse sins, nor satisfy yung galit ng Diyos. Hebrews 10 verse 4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. God demands a perfect, unblemished sacrifice. Something that would pay for the sins of all till the rest of eternity. Hindi pwede manggaling sa atin ang sacrifice kasi hindi ito magiging katanggap-tanggap sa harapan ng Diyos. Dahil tayo lahat ay makasalanan, kaparu-parusa po tayo sa harap ng Diyos. God is really angry at us, at kung meron tayong kinakatakot na galit, ay yung galit ng Diyos. Kaaway tayo pag wala tayong relasyon sa Panginoon. It is against His character, yung sin. His righteousness demands justice and must be punished. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Ang kabayaran ng kasalanan ay kamatayan. As a matter of fact, wala tayong kabutihan na kayang gawin upang mabayaran ang ating kasalanan. Walang sacrifice na pwedeng ialay. We can be as religious as the high priest, but this is not enough. Isaiah 64:6. All our righteous acts are filthy rags. And just like the fig tree, we may look good from the outside, but from the inside, we are fruitless. We are dead. Hindi porke mukha tayong religious, hindi porke mukha tayong matino or active, it doesn't mean na anak tayo ng Diyos. From the mouth of Jesus, diretso na ni Jesus to. Matthew chapter 7, verse 19 to 23. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In short, wala nagsasabing praise the Lord, Jesus Christ ay makakarating sa kaharian ko. Verse 22, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, that we cast out demons in your name, and did we do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, O you workers of lawlessness. Maybe you are an active attendee of Crossroads, maybe you are a member of Crossroads, or maybe you have been part of several ministries from the past till now. Friends, that doesn't guarantee na meron kang tunay na relasyon sa Panginoon. Ang batayan po natin is not those activities na ginagawa mo. It's not the work na ginagawa mo, but the finished work of Christ on the cross. Ang batayan. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, unblemished, sinless. Lived the perfect life na hindi natin kaya, died on the cross na dapat tayo yun. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. God's anger and wrath was poured on His Son. God accepted the sacrifice and was satisfied on the third day He rose from the grave. After Jesus' death and resurrection, no sacrifices were needed. He is where we need to go to get God. You want God, you want fruit, you go to Jesus. We need no temple. That's why we don't need to pray to dead saints. That's why we don't need Mary to mediate for us para sa ating kasalanan. Friends, we need Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5-6, where there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. If you're not a Christian dito, I urge you to repent from your sins. If you're trusting your good works, if you're trusting your religiosity, if you're trusting your track record of being a church member for years, turn away from self-righteousness, kapatid, and turn to Jesus' righteousness on the cross for salvation. If you are a Christian, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is the cure, is our freedom for hypocrisy. Because our identity is in Christ alone. Verses 23 to 25, and almost done. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Commentators say na si Jesus ay nakatayo sa harapan ng Mount of Olives, na kung saan natatanaw niya yung Dead Sea. So again, he uses that huge nature-type scenery as his illustration. Of course, he's saying na yung mountain na yan malilipat dito. That's figurative, okay? He's using figurative imagery language. May connection po ang sinasabi niya sa prayer at saka faith dito. Ano yung tinuturo ni Jesus sa mga disciples niya and sa atin ngayong gabi about faith and prayer? Ang sinasabi po niya na mag-request lang kayo. Ito ba sinasabi niya, Pastor? Mag-request lang kayo ng kahit anong gusto ninyo. Lahat ng galing, ibigingin nyo lang sa Lord. Basta malakas ang faith nyo, ibibigay niya. Yun ang sinabi rito, di ba? So dapat malakas ang faith ko. So dapat pray ako ng pray at ibibigay ni Lord so I can name it and claim it. Yan ang verse ko. Yan ang proof text ko. Should we believe yung ganong klaseng paniniwala? So kailangan po natin mag-ingat mga kapatid. Nakukuha tayo ng isa o dalawang verses walang context at gagawin nating theology of prayer. Okay? So we can't just take these and then say, it's like, okay, this is the right way to go when it comes to prayer. Hindi pa. Kailangan po natin tignan ang buong counsel of God's Word. So what does other books of the Bible say? What did Jesus say sa ibang instances? Just imagine, kung let's just say yun yung ibig sabihin nito. Hingiin mo lahat ng iyong mga prayer request ibibigay ng Panginoon basta malakas sa faith. Siguro nagkokontrahan tayo, no? Lord, sana mawalan siya ng trabaho. Lord, sana magkaroon na. Pero okay na walan. So parehong sinagot. So taliwa. So that would be very chaotic. Hindi po ba? Just imagine if God answered yung prayer ni Jesus. Anong prayer ni Jesus? Do not let this cup pass by me. Not as you will, but as you will. Parang sabi ko, sige, huwag ka na mamatay sa cross. Patay tayo lahat. O kaya naman si Paul sa 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now when he prayed, O Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh, then we will never understand and learn and experience what it means to be sustained by God's grace. Kung hindi dahil kay Paul. We need to think. Let's look at a text. One text and then I might be going overboard in a few minutes. James 4, 1-3. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Bakit kayo madalas mag-away? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder and covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Meron kang gusto, hindi mo nakuha, kaya nagalit ka. Okay? You do not have, sabi niya, you desire and you do not have. So, you do not have because you do not ask. Ah, may gusto ka pero hindi mo hiningi. So, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Now, this is a passage on prayer. 2 points na sinasabi ni Santiago rito. Unang-una, you do not receive yung prayer request mo kasi hindi mo hinihingi sa Panginoon. Okay? Kapag tayo po nagpe-pray, we need to have faith. We need to believe that God can grant this prayer. When you pray for something, as long as hindi po siya, of course, may mga conditions yan. You pray for something na kalooban ng Panginoon, you pray it with all your heart. You believe it. Have faith. Sometimes we people who believe yung doctrine of grace is sabi, kung will ng Panginoon. Now that's really good. But you know what? We're missing out on trusting the Lord. Pagdating ganun lagi na lang na, sige, kung kalooban ng Panginoon, tama po yun eh, tama yung theology na yun. Pero ang point dito, are you praying in faith? Or nagmamakasiguro ka lang? Hindi, kung kalooban naman, nagpe-pray ako, pero kung hindi kalooban, teka, labor, pray, Lord. How long, O Lord? Lord, give it to me. Lord, please heal. Lord, please give. Pray in faith. Sometimes as a people, we need to embrace the sovereignty of God. Yes, but we also need to pray na may tamang pananampalataya sa Panginoon. But we also have to believe that God can pray. Pray in faith. Number two, second part na sinabi niya rito, hindi mo natatanggap ang iyong request because you pray na. Oh, tama ka. Ginawa mo yung first part. You pray with all enthusiasm, with all faithfulness, pero you ask with wrong motives. Hindi naman sinasakay, hindi rin binibigay ng Panginoon. Hindi lahat ng prayers po natin ay sasagutin ho ng Panginoon na favorable sa atin. Because there are some prayer requests na makasalanan. E paano, Pastor, kung hindi makasalanan yung prayer, then hindi lahat ng tamang panalangin ay kaloob ng Panginoon. Ang tama po ay sasagutin niya ang prayer. Hindi lang sometimes favorable sa iyo, hindi lang sometimes ay tsura ng nanais mo, pero sasagutin ng Panginoon yan. According sa definition ng prayer ng Gospel Coalition, prayer is the act of asking God to do what He has already promised to do, which is modeled throughout the Bible by the patriarchs, the psalmists, the prophets, Jesus, and the apostles. End quote. Let me quote something from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question number 98. What is prayer? Answer. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for the things agreeable to His will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins, thankful acknowledges of His mercies. How do we pray prayers na naaayon sa kalooban ng Diyos, Pastor? paano ba natin kailangan ipagpe-pray yung mga nais natin ihiling sa Panginoon kung tama ba yung panalangin ko? Well, let me quote Thomas Merton, isang English Puritan noong 1600s. Sabi niya, "The Word, which is the Word of God, feeds meditation, and meditation feeds prayer. These duties must always go hand in hand. Meditation must follow hearing and precede prayer. To hear and not to meditate is unfruitful. It is rashness to pray and not to meditate." That's a rebuke sa akin kasi anong beses ako nagpe-pray and I don't even meditate ko anong pinagpe-pray ko. "What we take in by the word, we digest by meditation and let out by prayer. These three duties must be ordered that one may not jostle out the other." Friends, the best way to pray is to pray the scripture. Are your prayers fueled and informed by scripture? I want you, as you go home, to examine yung prayer requests ninyo. Are your prayer requests informed and fueled by scripture? Pastor, check the box na lahat yan. Nasa Bible, may tatlong verses pa ako to support yung aking prayer. Bakit wala pa rin hanggang ngayon? Then friends, as we meditate scripture and wait on the Lord, this should humble us. Kasi at the end of the day, this is what I love about sovereign grace theology. Kung hindi kaloob ng Panginoon o kaloob ng Panginoon, mangyayari po ito. Ayon sa oras niya, ayon sa kapamamaraanan niya, ayon sa kalooban niya. Maybe your prayers are good prayers. Maybe you've been praying for a child for years, praying for a spouse, praying for a job, praying for a raise sa trabaho, praying na matanggal na yung utang so you can serve your family well, praying for healing sa mga kamag-anak sa Pilipinas. Friends, I don't want you to stop praying for those. Pray in faith. But also, there's a passage in the Bible, especially sa husbands, and I discussed this sa class natin this week. If your prayers are not being answered, one of the reasons because husbands, you hate your wives. You're not forgiving your wives. You're not serving your wives. That's why the prayers are hindered. Isn't that interesting? Prayer means forgiveness then. If you have deep meditations sa salita ng Diyos, pray. God will reveal yung hurtful things sa life natin. That's true when you meditate. It will allow you to see the people who have harmed you and hurt you. And the only thing na gusto natin is revenge. But here's what the Bible says. Forgive them. Yun yung directive na binigay ng Panginoon. Hindi to add-on. Which means in every prayer, if my forgiveness, one, you need to ask forgiveness. And as you receive that forgiveness kay Jesus, then you must be a recipient granting forgiveness because you have been forgiven. We must understand that we have a King who is righteous, who died for us, who hates sin and redeemed us. So those who have Jesus redeemed should be worshiping Him. Worship should be flourishing sa kanilang heart and then mag-overflow sa kanilang pamumuhay. Jesus is the righteous King and the Savior of all nations who deserve all praises. Father, we come to you with broken hearts and with crushed spirits as we listen to the meditation of your word. Oh Father, different emotions probably are cultivated. I pray, Father, that you would care for our heart, care for the word that we have received tonight, knowing that I myself is not exempted sa katuruan na ito. Would you keep us accountable? Would you keep us to be transparent and open sa mga kapatiran? So that we would look for ways to communicate that love na nanggagaling sa inyo. And may you use mamaya, Lord, yung Merienda Fellowship as an avenue to exercise such faith and prayer and love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.